Hello and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today, my guest is Matt Vine. Welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Thanks for having me on, buddy.
So, Matt, tell everyone a little bit about yourself, what you do, how you got into personal training, online coaching, and all your other ventures.
Jesus, right. So, firstly, hello, everybody. Best place to start was obviously when I finished school, gap year, living the dream out in Perth, like working in a bar, that kind of situation. And then I finished off and I went to acting school. I actually studied my degree. My first class degree is acting and stage combat. So I originally wanted to be an actor, stuntman, you know, fight director, you name it. That was the dream. So I originally sort of got into the fitness side of things through acting, actually. And I was quite fortunate. I did quite well at my degree with the first honors. And then moving from there, obviously took the first year to try and push for acting jobs and fight directing work, and managed to actually land quite a few big stunt work stuff, one being Game of Thrones. And obviously from that, you're obviously having to keep yourself naturally fit. So, you know, through university, I started hitting the gym quite hard. My mother was a qualified personal trainer back in the day. So she actually was the first person to give me my first diet plan and training schedule, all that kind of stuff. Cause at, 18 years old, I had no clue what I was doing. And I hate that. If I'm honest, I really didn't enjoy going to the gym when I first got into it, cause I just thought it was boring. Obviously I was chasing girls, wanted to do more of that kind of thing. But then through my second year of university, let's just say that I wanted to try and impress a particular girl. So I started hitting the gym really heavy, and then I started to see results, and that's when I really started to get hooked into the gym. But yeah, obviously after graduating and then hitting these big roles, obviously having to stay quite fit, but I had to stay at a certain body type. And that's pretty much where that sort of went. I, you know, really started to look at aesthetics and the way that I looked. And then when the job started to slow down, it's a case of trying to find other work. And I started to think to myself, well, what could I do alongside the acting thing that could possibly still be keeping my hours free to go to auditions and stuff like that? But I didn't want to work in a bar. And personal training was the first thing that came to my mind. Like I said, my mom was a personal trainer. So I basically looked into that, got my level 2 and level 3 qualification. And I guess the rest was history. I started working straight away at Gymbox in London, which was quite a heavy deal because they're big into, you know, self-employment, working on your own business. You know, it's all or nothing with them. They don't really help you as such. They don't help you build a business. You have to build it yourself. And I obviously didn't know that at the time, but I thought, you know what, stuff it, let's go for it. And things ended up taking off quite well. I think because of the different style of training that I had due to the fight directing and the fight work that I'd had beforehand, it was quite a good selling point. You know, do you watch Game of Thrones? Yes. Bang. You're a client straight away. So things kind of kicked off quite well for me, at that point. And then, you know, the more clients I got, you know, the less interested I was in auditioning, because I was actually getting money from this. So, you know, I was actually building a business by myself. And, that's kind of the end of it, really. My business took off there, and I met my fiance in the gym. So, you know, where I am today, I wouldn't have got to where I am today if I hadn't chosen the route that I had chosen. And, you know, there's still bits and bobs of the stunt work there, but you know, my first love is obviously the PT work now. So that's pretty much where I am today.
That's sick. And of all places to start off when you're not even going full on at PT, Gymbox, it must be one of the worst places to start to learn about building a PT business.
It's pretty heavy. And I mean, you see so many PTs come and go from Gymbox, just because they come in with obviously this, you know, they're all enthusiastic and full of drive and driven, but they don't realize that you actually do have to walk the floor and talk to people. And the gym doesn't give a damn. You have to pay the rent whether you like it or not. because it's a rent-based gym. So you do have to pay quite a hefty fee, shall we say, quite a hefty fee per month to the gym. And for a lot of people, that's very daunting when you haven't got any clients to begin with. So yeah, starting out, I mean, I think, like I said, I had a bit of a helping hand in the fact that it was actually the gym that I trained at before. So I knew a lot of people there already, and they'd all seen me train. So I guess I kind of had a bit of a leg up from that point. And like I said, due to the fact that I've studied acting and that side of things, I would say I'm quite a confident person when it comes to talking to people. I don't shy away from showing just who I am, and just being me, which I think is a very key thing when it comes to personal training. At the end of the day, it's a relationship. So again, I guess it's just like any sales job. You are, you know, the best way to move forward in it is to just start conversations. And that's pretty much what I used to do. I think the hard sell for personal training, especially at Gymbox, or at least at the Gymbox that I'm at, doesn't work. So for me, it was just about making friends. You know, you made friends, and then literally you end up talking about training, or they see something on your Instagram or your social media, and then they, and then that's where the interest lies. That's when they ask the question of, oh, by the way, you do personal training, can I know more? And the rest is history, really. But yeah, you got to learn fast at Gymbox, otherwise it kicks your butt.
Yeah, I think even with any gym, it's like that. That you start personal training, then you come out of your PT course, and you go into a gym and you realize you don't know anything about a business whatsoever.
Yeah.
And you start off self-employed and you're like, oh, shit. But then, yeah, definitely being an actor and being this good at talking, like as you were, definitely must help. Because I know that's one of my biggest issues with approaching people is just like being confident with your talk and kind of being able to approach people and knowing what to say, knowing how to react to people.
Definitely
must help. As far as competing then, what's your plans with competitions?
So I guess that another thing, yeah, is the competing side of things. So I am a fitness model competitor, have been for around 3 years now. My goals for this year, obviously, I've got 2020 is a huge year for me. I'm getting married in June. We're looking to move home as well. Want to get a bigger place. And then the show that I'm going for is November, the 7th of November for WBFF. Which is pretty big. It's the European Championships. If any bodybuilding enthusiasts out there, like an Arnold Classic, I guess, version of more the fitness model side of things. Yeah. Rather than bodybuilding, you've got more fitness model and muscle model than you've got. So that's WBFF, while for bodybuilders, you've got Arnold and then the Olympia. So it's that kind of style, I guess.
Yeah.
So plans for this year is, November the 7th, buddy.
So you're going straight from honeymoon to prep then, is it?
Pretty much. Straight from Orlando, Florida, straight into prep, yeah.
Jeez, that's crazy. and just the one competition plan for the year, so?
Yeah, I think for me at the moment, one show a year, is more than enough. I might change my mind just due to the fact that obviously this year things have changed up a little bit, and I have got myself my own coach. The last couple of shows I've done, I've always prepped myself, so mentally it's been so draining and so tiring. But this year I decided, you know what, let's just go all, you know, balls deep and get myself a proper coach who can actually just focus on everything there, so I can focus on other things. I've got so much else happening this year that there was no way I was going to try and coach myself through another prep, because it physically and mentally is destroying. So to have somebody else there just to lean on, it's definitely going to help. So yeah, I think for me, one show is more than enough. Obviously, if pro status is given, then, you know, I probably won't shy away from trying to win a pro title, so we'll see.
Yeah. And just on that as well, you said you got a coach. So even personal trainers who are supposed to be, they know what they're doing, get a coach, because it's not the knowledge. As I say to anyone who's considering a coach, you can get everything from YouTube, but it's like having someone to organize it and keep you accountable. is like, it's priceless.
100%. Like, I think the best coaches, the best personal trainers in the world have coaches.
Yeah.
I know so many people that say that, and it's such a good saying, but yeah, I don't think anybody can do what we try and do by themselves for long. You might be able to do, you know, you might already have the best physique that you think you have. And you might enter a couple of amateur shows and do all right. But I think to have somebody else there when you're at your lowest, because at the end of the day, I think with prep and with shows, it's all a mental game. Physically, the training's the fun bit, but dieting, staying in such a caloric deficit for so long, and not actually giving yourself the break, can really do some damage to your mental health. So to have somebody there that, you know, you could even just call and say, look, man, I'm having such a down day and I don't know what to do. And they just say, you know, keep your head up. It's more than enough for anybody. And, you know, at the end of the day, us coaches in brackets, we, you know, we are normal people. We're not these cyborg freaks that, you know, eat chicken and broccoli and do hours of treadmill a day and lift weights nonstop. You know, at the end, we do all have our weak points. So, yeah, I think anybody should work with a coach. I think it would benefit anybody in the long run.
100%. And even with, you see it like for people, even my own clients, like they'll say, oh, I don't feel like I've lost any weight. And it's like, you have to literally go back and show them their original progress photo. Because like when it happens slowly, or let's say, especially if you're on a prep and you get to that stage of body dysmorphia where you're seeing like all the other competitors all the time watching that sort of content, and you're thinking you're not really getting anywhere. You need someone outside your own head to be able to say like, look, you've clearly made progress. Here's why. And just prove it to you nearly. Because you just get, you get that own battle inside your own head. You just can't win.
Yeah. You are your own worst enemy, no matter what, what you do for a living.
So that's the plan for this year as far as competing. What is the plan for business?
So business wise, oh God, good question. So so much happening at the moment. We've got our online focus at the moment as well. So again, I do online coaching, which is a big grind for us at the moment due to the fact that we are wanting to move just slightly out of London, come later on the year. So we are looking sort of more Cambridge-y side of things, I guess, just because I like the area.
Yeah.
No other reason. So, really pushing on the online side of things. But also, we are looking at opening our own PT studio out there as well. So it's definitely something that we're in the talks at the moment with a couple of investors. And that's pretty much, again, like just due to the fact that we've got the wedding and stuff at the moment, that's obviously the main focus. But we've got everything sort of else in the background just slowly starting to trickle away. So at the moment, for me, it's been heavily involved on the online side of things. My one-to-one client base is structured. That's, it's there. It's my baby. That's safe and sound. And I'm not actually looking to take on any more one-to-one clients after January. So that's kind of at its max.
Yeah.
But now it's a case of really pushing on the online side of things, which again is going really well. Just like yourself, investing in even a business coach is something that I would recommend to anybody, because honestly, you think you know everything, or you think you've got everything under control. You honestly don't. So many things, just talking to, you know, a business coach or somebody that has been there, done that and got the t-shirt, it is so helpful. I remember the first call. So I've been now working with a business coach, Chris Spearman, as just like yourself, who, again, I think my first call with him, you know, blew my mind in terms of just the structure to change my online view on online coaching. And again, just using that one bit of information and that structure has helped me immensely to build the online side of things. So, and again, that is now a new tool to use to help then build the studio, which we will be looking at later on this year.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of, again, in a nutshell, where the business side of things, I guess, are looking. So exciting times.
Yeah, no, really. Geez, you have a lot planned for the year. And that's the thing too, I guess, like going through them bits of planning out like our 2020s or setting these massive goals. Yeah. It's really exciting stuff. I suppose it does scare you a little bit when you think about all the stuff that you're going to do this year, but I'm sure that you will.
It's terrifying.
Just to bring it back to competing a little bit. And why is it that you do compete? Like, do you just love the sport? Do you think it's worth the trade-off based on, because you talked a little bit about mental health there. Do you think it's worth the trade-off for that? Like, does it affect you long-term or is it just while you're on prep? Kind of go into that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I think it depends on the individual. Competing is not easy. And I think the first time I said, I want to compete, I'm trying to think why. And the reason why was because I watched these guys. So the first bodybuilder, the first introduction to this kind of life was a guy called Steve Cook. I actually got introduced to his YouTube channel and his Big Man on Campus and everything like that. And I basically started watching that, and he was basically going through his prep for his first Olympia. And I watched this and I just couldn't stop watching it. And I got absolutely hooked on the idea of just focusing and changing your body to this point where, you know, the normal human being just can't get themselves that shredded on a normal diet or this, that, the other. And I just thought, I want that. I really want to give it a go. And then when I eventually got around to actually starting a prep and going through that route, I was hooked. I really was. You know, I was loving the fact that each week things were changing. You know, I was seeing different changes in my body. And I think the first prep was relatively easy for me. Again, I'm not a huge guy. You know, 90 kilo. Well, say 90 kilos is the heaviest I've ever been. I think on stage in my first show, I was about 71 kilograms in my first ever show. The second show is where the cracks started to show. And this was for the WBFF. So my first show was for a different federation. And then my second show was WBFF. And WBFF to me was the Olympia. It was the holy crap, this is about to happen. So I think from a mental point, I put so much strain on myself. And this is why I suggest a coach, because I put so much pressure on myself and I had nobody else to turn to. I had only myself to blame. I had only myself to question. I had only myself to answer those questions. So that's, I think, where the mental strain for me really was. But I tell you now, I've never felt more alive than when I stepped on stage.
Yeah.
And when I came off stage was probably the most pumped and emotional I've ever felt for a very long time. Just because I knew that I had put myself through absolute hell and I'd done it by myself and I've done it. And I know that I am better than most of these guys on stage and I've done it myself. And I've got nobody to praise but myself. So I think that was... So for me, to answer the question, yes, 100%. If you are looking to compete, know that you're going to... It's going to beat you up, put you to the floor and just stamp on your head. But at the same time, you are going to feel the best that you ever have afterwards just because of how long a journey it really is. I would definitely say if anybody's interested in doing it, definitely throw yourself into the deep end. Firstly, get a coach. Don't do it by yourself for the love of God. Get a coach, throw yourself in because you won't regret it.
Yeah. I completely agree with you, especially because by the sounds of it, you were very intrinsically motivated to do it.
Yeah.
You were doing it for the right reasons. You were doing it for yourself. And that's kind of my dilemma with it is I always say like, I wouldn't compete because I'm the kind of person that I get too much comparison syndrome. I get too, I get like comparing myself to others and I don't want to say that I'm using that as an excuse either. So I'm like, I should probably get to a certain amount of lean just to be like, okay, I can do it, you know, maybe for like the photo shoot or something for like, the Cover Model Academy type thing. But I never want to get stage ready because I don't think I'd have the mental strength to be happy afterwards.
Yeah.
So I think for certain people, it's not a good idea. For people like yourself, when your reason for doing it is right, then it's great. But I just think for me, I wouldn't say never, but as of now, it's not something I could see myself doing.
And that's totally fine at the end of the day. Like, you know, again, competing isn't for everybody. Otherwise, so many other fitness, you know, influencers would be doing it. But yeah, it's only us crazy people that decide to step on stage. So you're all good.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, it is a great challenge. Like, there's nothing takes self-discipline like starving yourself for 16 weeks straight or whatever it is for your prep.
It's not the best slogan, that, is it?
No, but for... Still, you have to, that's the harsh truth, I guess. That's what you want to tell people before they know what they're signing up for, you know?
Exactly. And that's at the end of the day, you know, anybody that's wanting to lose weight, whether, like you said, it's for a cover model shoot or whether it's for a holiday or for a show, at the end of the day, you have to put in the grind. And, you know, for anything to feel good, you've got to go through the bad.
Yeah, 100%. So as far as your training, what does that look like at the moment? You're obviously on a bulk type phase, I'd imagine,
so at the moment I'm actually trying to cut down. So we're going through what Joe's called the priming phase, which I love. So aka Matt, lose some weight, you're too fat after Christmas. We're actually trying to lose a bit of weight at the moment, so cutting down. If I'm honest, I'm quite glad we're doing that, because like I said, I've got the wedding coming up, so I want to be able to actually fit in my suit. And then we are going to be looking to bulk up for, I don't know, depending on obviously how the cut goes, we'll see from there. But yeah, we will try and put on a little bit of size and then again shred down for about 12 weeks. But we want to keep things relatively lean anyway. So I guess split wise at the moment, training 4 times a week, sort of a push pull leg system, and then rotating that round. And then obviously focusing a lot on cardio and diet and supplementation as well.
Okay. Yeah. And then as far as nutrition goes, you're in a deficit at the moment?
Yeah, so deficit at the moment now, focusing more on like a training day split and a rest day split for calorie deficit side of things.
Yeah. And what is your, do you like cycle your carbs? Do you go on like, would you go higher fat on your rest days? How does that look?
So I'm just trying to think of what we're on at the moment. So again, proteins and stuff, obviously, as any diet should, proteins pretty much stay exactly the same. We're mainly focusing on the carb side of things. So, again, fats stay relatively low, about 20%, really 20-25%. And then it's just more manipulation of the carbs. We don't really, not really carb cycling. It's more of just a structured, constant deficit. So, training days will obviously be significantly higher, and then rest days will always be significantly lower.
That's what I mean. Sorry, cycling them up for your training days to use.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. So then, yes. Yeah. So then we're cycling up every training day session. Yeah.
Okay. Weird. Yeah. That's something I actually didn't know that much about a few months ago. And then I started thinking, I was like, makes a lot of sense. Like actually, cause you're like food is fuel, using it for your workouts. Like I was just kind of too lazy to make separate days, so I was always just training myself, eating the same every day, whether I was in a deficit or a surplus. But
that was exactly what I did for my shows. I literally just, I had one set of calories, one set of macros, and I literally stayed with that. So on a training day and a rest day, I just constantly stayed the same, and then obviously when things started to plateau, I would then bring it back down, which again killed me on those training days. Trying to, you know, rest days were fine because I'll just stay in bed all day, but then on the training days it was just absolute hell. So towards the end of the preps, god, it was horrible. So yeah, I get where you're coming from.
I guess learning something new all the time, every day is a school day. With as far as like, you're a pretty busy person, I'd imagine, with all this stuff.
Yeah,
how do you stay on top of everything, like schedule wise? Do you plan? Do you meal prep? How do you keep on top of everything?
I think, like you said, it's just about structure. Structure is something I've really had to work on the last year or so, I'd say, just because of so much sort of coming up. I mean, I think the best tip to give to anybody that's obviously starting to put a lot on their plate is to do the things that are the easiest to get done first. get the small things out of the way, because the small things are the things that start to stack up. So again, like food prep, I get that done twice a week and then it's done. I don't have to worry about it. And it takes me an hour and that's it. And then obviously from there, you start to then build things up. And I think writing lists are the best way to stay on top of things. My missus has got, I think, I'm sitting at the desk now and she's got about 4 lists just sort of plugged everywhere, just of things that need to be done. So I think, if you're going to stay on top of things, just make sure that you're writing everything down. It doesn't have to all be on your phone. I think a pen and paper sometimes is the best tool that can be used for that. Even a whiteboard, I think a nice big whiteboard, just so that it's always there in front of you so you can cross things off, is a really good way to stay on top and just to make things easier for you.
Yeah, whiteboard's my thing. I find if I put something on my phone, every time I go check my list, I end up on Instagram or on something else. So I'm just like writing it down, notebook or something like that, a day a page type thing.
Yeah, 100%. I always forget about things on my reminders, on my lists, on my phones. I always forget about that stuff. So I've got a big whiteboard here that literally I'll just write everything down. I might not get through it all in the day, but as long as it's there, it means I'm staying accountable.
Yeah, exactly. And when it's in your face, you kind of subconsciously you're seeing it. Do you do anything similar with goals then, like your 2020 goals? So that a lot of people talk about having it in your face all the time.
Yeah, literally. Actually, just as we're talking now, I'm staring at two. I've got two big spider diagrams. So one is literally titled "Make More Money," and that from there it's just spider diagrammed everywhere. And then next one is goals. So again, then we're just working on different targets, different clientele targets, what we want to do with them, how to give more. Like exactly the same thing. So the whiteboard is literally key. Half of it is for structured, and then the other is for writing down goals and just a bit more motivation, if you like.
Yeah, nice. Right. So a bit of a quick fire round to finish off. Sweet. So first thing, well, it sometimes doesn't end up that quick fire because people like to expand on the answers, but
I'll do my best. I know I waffle.
You're all right. So favorite book at the moment?
Oh God. Favorite book is, I've got it here. The Elephant Whisperer.
Is it fact, fiction?
It's a fact, but it's sort of working on it. So basically, so my African background, so I'm originally from South Africa myself. So, So I'm originally from South Africa, but, and my sister actually started, my little sister started reading it, and I actually by accident, purchased 2 of the books. So I thought, all right, bugger it, I'll keep one and give her the other one. And then it's just been a really good read.
All right. Yeah. We will have to have a look at it. If you could talk to 3 people dead or alive, who would they be?
Nelson Mandela, Steve Cook, third one would be Donald Trump, and ask him what the hell he's doing with his life.
Fair enough. I was going to ask, what would be your ideal podcast guest, but I'm guessing Steve Cook.
My ideal podcast? No, I would probably say Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just because of everything that he's been doing in the fitness industry in terms of obviously with his app at the moment, I would love to pick his brain and understand how he's sort of gone through that route. And obviously, again, working with personal trainers and just working with such a huge group of individuals that all have different specialties within the fitness industry, whether that's martial arts, nutrition, all of that. And he's basically just surrounded himself with this team. I think it would be amazing to understand his journey and why he's decided, you know, he's such a successful actor, you know, going from obviously where he was to then Thor and the Avengers and everything. And actually just pick his brain on that side of things. So yeah, I think Chris Hemsworth would be mine.
Yeah, that's a good one actually. Favorite podcast?
Favorite podcast? Oh, good question. I think my favorite podcast would actually have to be the Chris Spearman episode where he actually interviewed Joe Ballinger. And they sort of just spoke about his life. I've actually listened to that one like 4 or 5 times. It's pretty inspirational.
I should give that a listen. I don't think I've heard that one.
Yeah, and no, definitely a good listen.
Yeah. So that's all the quick fire questions I'd written down. You got to them quite quickly. Usually they take way longer.
Mate, I thought I'd try.
Who was it? Brad had the worst one. His was 3 people he'd like to speak to at the same time. He had Hitler and Viktor Frankl. One was you know, the guy from the concentration camp, and then there's Hitler. I was like, that'd be an interesting conversation.
Get them all in the same room together.
So we had to expand on that one a bit. But yeah, tell everyone a little bit about where they can find you, your social medias, your podcast.
Sweet. God, I need to remember them all now. So if you guys want, you can follow me on Instagram. My Instagram is MattVineOfficial. I've also got my own podcast, which I've actually just launched my first episode. The podcast is PT Talks with Matt Vine. You can find that on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all of those, all the different podcast channels, you can find them on there. So definitely check that one out. I'm really looking forward to that one getting bigger. We've also got our Facebook group, which is Pro Fitness Coaching. That's our online and one-to-one personal training fitness company. So if you guys are interested, you can obviously join our group on Facebook as well. And that's it.
Great. Everyone go give him a follow. Some great content. And thanks so much for coming on, Matt.
No worries, David. Thank you for having me on, mate.